Spark a conversation, verbal elation, stimulation, education. This is Minaj with the Mary Jane Maven. When we on the air, it's always a lituation. Might talk about some litigation, might talk about some immigration, might talk about some politics, but never talking nonsense. Yes, we on in the slide. Watch and listen, it's a vibe. Watch it while you getting high, or you can listen while you drive. Just don't forget to subscribe.
Roll up. I'm trying to get high.
Welcome to Menage with the Mary Jane Maven podcast with your host, the Mary Jane Maven. I am the producer, the hubby. Follow us on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Show us some love and click that subscribe button now. Don't forget to click the bell so you get notifications and click the like button on the videos.
And now, your host.
Spark a conversation, verbal elation, stimulation, education. This is Minaj with the Mary Jane Maven. When we on the air, it's always a lituation. Might talk about some litigation, might talk about some immigration, might talk about some politics, but never talking nonsense. Yes, we on in the slide. Watch and listen, it's a vibe. Watch it while you getting high, or you can listen while you drive. Just don't forget to subscribe.
Roll up. I'm trying to get high.
To Menage with the Mary Jane Maven podcast with your host, the Mary Jane Maven. I am the producer, the hubby. Follow us on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Show us some love and click that subscribe button now. Don't forget to click the bell so you get notifications and click the like button on the videos.
And now, your host.
Hey. That always just gets me nice and pumped up there. Like, I don't know opening at all. But shout out to the hubby for his fantastic job on our opening there. I am so blessed to have somebody that not only supports me, but has a little bit of creativity. No, I'm kidding. He's fantastic. So I do want to thank him. He's listening. You guys know he's very modest, so. And humble. But what's up, everybody? Thank you so much for joining us again. It has been a crazy week thus far. Weather here in California and Sacramento is like, I don't know what it's doing. It was almost 80 degrees a couple of days ago. Today, it's like we are in just the most blistery, crazy wind tunnel that you can even imagine. It is ridiculous. I'm pretty sure my tree in my front yard is going to just fall into the house today. Let's not manifest that. And can I just, I want to pose this really quick. I get kids being outside playing. I get it. But why are you allowing your kids to be outside when the wind gusts are like 65 miles per hour, limbs falling, all they're doing is standing outside and screaming at the top of their lungs? Can we not do that, people? All right. When we live in a community like this, so we're all so close, let's just be able to keep them in the house. You know, teach them about, I don't know, go fish. I don't know, but this is not the time to have your children outside. Today, we have a very special episode. You guys know how much I really believe in collaboration, how much I believe in, you know, reaching across the miles that are between, you know, different people and people that I communicate with through social media and whatnot. And I also like to highlight other content creators and their podcast and, you know, their contribution to history and contribution to our society. So today we have a very, very special guest. This gentleman, he did appear on my second podcast, second out of four that I host. And we know that is with my fam, the Boondocks. He's a guest on there, and it was our election night episode, if I'm not mistaken. And I decided to, I've known that I've actually wanted him to be a guest on the show because I found him before I was actually on the Boondocks and before I started working with them. So you guys know what I like to do. I like to give them the floor because I talk enough. So let's welcome everybody. Let's give our snaps to my my guest co-host this evening. And why don't you tell the people who you are? I feel like you're right here, so I'm pointing to you.
Hey, my name is Damon Thompson. I am the host of Damon Does, a weekly podcast where I mostly do interviews, but I also do little bits of history and other things that I find interesting. I'm a father of two, husband of one, and I'm a darn cute podcaster, which is why I'm on, which is why I podcast instead of on video.
I love it. I love that you said father of two, husband of one. You're just like, damn right you are. Yeah, that's right. How old are your children?
4 and 7. Going on.
Ooh, you are
4 and 1.
Yeah, you are right in the middle. Like, you got some time, all right? You still have all the junior, elementary school, junior high school, high school. Oof. Let me tell you, I have a 12 and 9-year-old, two boys. I know you won't be able to believe this. My oldest is 23. I know. How's that possible when I'm only 30 myself? Yes.
It's like, you got started early. I guess that was none of my business.
Hey, no, I was, you know, right? If I was 33, or people really believe me, they'd be like, 10? No, guys, I started... I guess okay. I was out of teen years. I was 20. So you guys do your own math, because I'm not telling you how old I am. You don't ask a lady that. But no, you definitely, we are in the, you know, I can relate to that. I've been past it, but your 7-year-old is probably more like a 13-year-old. These kids are so much more advanced and they're smarter than we were, I like to say. So I give it to you. I give it to you and your wife, because that's a lot. Welcome. Yes, and you're, if I'm not mistaken, because I know you're a few hours ahead, I'm on the West Coast and you're on the East Coast, correct?
Yes, I actually have a connection, six degrees of Kevin Bacon relation to, wait a minute, let me look real quick. I want to say it's from season 2, episode 13 from Creative Louisville. Ray, oh, dang it. What is his name? Mm-hmm. Ray Robinson is his name,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never met Ray. However, I've watched a couple of the episodes and he mentioned the Princess Bride. I'm like, he's in Louisville. You mentioned Princess Bride. I know a guy who's in Princess Bride, who did a Princess Bride gimmick as well. So I call him up and he's like, oh yeah, I know that guy. So he was in the Princess Bride thing he did with one of my best friends, Christopher. And Christopher and I have been friends since we were freshmen in high school, which is longer than I would care to admit.
Yeah, right. That is crazy. Well, look at that. See, guys? This is how the world of content creation and the world of, you know, just creative people kind of come across. Ray was awesome. We had a really good time. I know that I received one comment and somebody was like, how'd you find this middle-aged, bald-headed white man from Kentucky to connect with? And I said, you know, thankful to Podbooking, which is one of the many podcaster platforms that are available to us. And I mean, I contacted him, he responded right away. And he's somebody that I am, you know, I look up to as far as him continuing to be creative. Like, a lot of us kind of let life get in the way of our creativity and we push it to the side. And I always believe when you're not really manifesting or living within your true purpose and your passions, then that makes life less fun. So, you know, when people aren't really tapping into what they're universe given, their God-given talents and interests are, like I said, then, you know, that's where we get, you know, these very unhappy people. And so to see Ray continue to, you know, to make things work for him where he's able to express his creativity is awesome. Mm-hmm. And you know, if he watches this episode or sees this episode, we're not done. We still have a couple more things that my brain works 9,000 miles per hour. So as I was talking with him, I had about 6 different ideas of how we can communicate and collaborate. So we will be doing as such, although, and as well, I have some ideas for you too. So we will jump into that. But yeah, so As you guys all know, we start off every episode. And I'm sorry, I'm tweeting that we are live, so you know our fellow fam that's out there can get on and join us. So give me 1 second. Okay. So what we are going to talk about this episode, guys, is we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, Black entrepreneurship. You know, all month I've been highlighting those people that are making a difference within the local community here in Sacramento, as well as cannabis-wise, you know, especially women of color. Last week we had a great guest, you know, Wordplay, who is into music. And we are having this gentleman tonight who is somebody who can probably share some really good tidbits and little nuggets of information with us. But, and I also do have my shirt on. If you guys have a Target in your area, I'm going to show you this. This will probably be there for like another week or so. This is by a Black artist. So if you guys are like me and you go to Target, that front area of Target always gets you. Okay. And this one, it got me. So this is by a Black creator. And it says, to my Black people, I love you. And it says MESS, which is the name of the abbreviation of the company. And I'll make sure that that's in like the show notes and stuff like that. But if you guys like it, there's some other stuff there. Target's definitely trying to be like, Black people, we love you, you know, and there's some really good products there right now that allow you to show your Black love and your Black appreciation. But we will be talking about entrepreneurship this episode. So before we get started with our spark and salutation, so that gives you guys a second to grab your medicine so that we can get medicated together. But our quote for this episode, it's so simple, and I love it, though. It is, Black-owned alone is not enough reason to support. Support cannot rest alone on our skin color. Support Black-owned businesses because they're great. Plain simple. Makes sense. Nothing to decipher there. You know, there's no secret message. We have always been an integral part of creating this country. Building it, creating its commerce, providing different, you know, inventions. For example, I bet most people don't know that the Super Soaker, created by a Black man, and created by a Black man who had a very distinct and extensive background in like science and in engineering. Who would have thought that that gun that gets on your nerves in the summertime, unless you're ready to get wet, and the one that you don't want your children to play with, but the one that you find leaking on your carpet floor in your house, it was created by a Black man. So, you know, every time my kids had one and I did find it leaking on the floor and I stepped into a puddle, you know, they didn't get in trouble because I was like, this Black man created it. I'm not going to get upset at that. So, very important. So, you knew that because you were shaking your head in agreement. So, you knew that that piece of America or Black American history, that the gentleman who created the Super Soaker was Black.
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah, that's one I knew. Yes. Actually, to add on to that, so, go ahead.
Yeah.
There's something to add to that. It was kind of adjacent to that. Not only did a Black man invent the Super Soaker, a Black man also invented the game cartridge that Atari and then, you know, Nintendo developed and everybody else. A Black man basically invented video games.
I did not know that, because you know who they always give the credit to, you know, those in wherever Nintendo started. So China, Japan. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's who the credit's given to. Yeah.
I want to say he invented the cartridge. I'm not 100% sure on that. But yeah, he was integral in video games.
So kind of the main, you know, what we needed. I mean, there's kids now. My son always sneaks and watches these episodes. My 12-year-old, he'll probably be like, what? Huh? What's a cartridge? Even though we have an old school Nintendo with every game you could possibly think of downstairs right now collecting dust because they don't play it.
So sad.
But that very much reminds me of one of my, that very much, I'm glad that you shared that. That reminds me of one of my favorite episodes of A Different World, which we were just talking about a couple weeks ago, and the importance of how A Different World played into my life. Mm-hmm. And that's when Dwayne, you know, and Ron kind of got into it towards the end of the episode or the series. If you guys don't know, and if you don't know, get your butts on Amazon Prime right now and get your life with A Different World. But, you know, Dwayne created a game, but that was based in math. And it was a baseball game, if I'm not mistaken. Him and Ron got into it because Ron said it was his idea, you know. And Dwayne was like, boy, you barely passed college. How are you going to give an idea to create a game? But I don't want to ruin it in case you guys haven't seen it. It's a great episode, but he just shared some news with me. I was a black man who actually created the cartridges and things that Atari and Nintendo use for video games. Fire.
We create everything.
Fire. We write facts. We create everything. I don't know if you guys are saying that, but facts. So.
Thank you, Hubby Cubed.
It's true. It's true. So, yes. He said, thank you, Hubby. Hubby Cubed. I like that. Hubby Cubed. I like that. I like that. So, we might have to start calling you that. Instead of the hubby, start saying Hubby Cubed. Most funny because when we first started, he didn't, you know, he's an educator. He also is a basketball coach, and he will be a NCAA, you know, winning coach. He will be in the next couple of years. You guys are going to be like, what? MJ Maven's married to him? Especially when you see me on his 30 for 30.
Yeah. Dang, so, nice.
Anywho, I manifest. I'm gonna, you know, you speak the things into existence. So
much pressure.
Support, not pressure. You hear that?
All you gotta do is show up to work every day, man.
That's it. So when he first started producing, you know, we didn't want to say his name, and I always called him the hubby. Mm-hmm. And one of my guests was like, "Do I have to call him that? Like, I don't really want to call him that." So. That's how we kind of got the hubby, but I like that. I think we're going to add that. Get you a t-shirt that says that, babe. All right, so everybody, you know what time it is. It's Spark and Salutations, so please get your sativa, get your indica, get your hybrid, get your dab, get your tea, get your gummy, whatever it may be that helps you to get elevated and to live a better quality of life. Get that, because I am starting today, and this strain is actually provided once again by the homies.
Chapo.
I'm Chapo. We are very dedicated customers. So this strain is, what they provide us today is a lemon, cherry, and I, you know, they write so bad on these bags sometimes, but lemon, cherry, and I think it's gelato. Really good. So very good terps in here. Yes. So do you, or how do you feel if you don't medicate? Is that something that you understand why people do? Do you think like the old stigmas and, you know, that surround it are true? Tell me a little bit about your opinion about the good old Mary Jane.
I am a fan. My philosophy on things is, as long as it's between consenting adults, it's not harming anybody, especially children.
Yes.
Go for it. You know, you're not bothering anybody. Meh. So that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yes. I love it. And I wish more people had that same mentality about, instead of being worried about what somebody else is doing in their house, where my money goes, you know, what I'm doing. You know, when people say things, I like to tell them, I can guarantee that I have better communication with my husband. I understand and have a better, you know, relationship with my children. My children won't be running to try anything and everything because of my honesty with it. And because multiple sclerosis does live with me, I'm not dependent upon big pharma. I understand how it works for my endocannabinoid system. And it could really help to, like I said, just really make your quality of life so much better. Yeah. And I think elongated as well. I tell you, Betty White, in all of her almost 100 years, bet you Betty White lights up or does something every single day. And I bet you she has for some time. Just quote me on that. So speaking of, you know, cannabis and making it something that's accessible to everybody, I do want to give a huge shout out, and you know, you guys are doing the right thing, to the state of New Jersey, who just recently made cannabis, you know, made recreational legal. So big ups to you all. We need to, the rest of the states, you know, needs to hurry up and just jump on that. Mr. Joe Biden. That's what I call our president. I like to call him Joe Biden. I like to run his name together. It's from SNL, if you guys are SNL fans. But Mr. Joe Biden, you are worried about the wrong thing, sir. I get that you're trying to get Corona under control. I get that you're also trying to take away some of our 2A rights, which shouldn't be too much of a focus. Your focus should be on getting people the money that they deserve to be able to start this economy once again. And then also, a way for this economy to get better and a way to get people out of unemployment, right here. All right. If we federally legalize it, you know, there's going to be more opportunities for people to become entrepreneurs. I was interviewed. So if you guys are on LinkedIn, you guys can actually check out a LinkedIn interview that I did on Monday. I was on it's kind of like a podcast show that it's called Sustainable Cannabis. That's on LinkedIn. And I talked a lot about how I think that cannabis is the answer to a lot of social equity, how it's the answer to build generational wealth for us, how it's the answer to helping us improve our health and to just gain more control over who we are, what our lives are like, what our health is like. And like I said, what we leave to the next generations. Mm-hmm. I also say that if we pumped in, you know how like Disneyland like pumps in the smells, how every part of Disneyland, Disney World smells great. That's because they pump in the smells so that everywhere you go, you're like, oh, I'm so happy. We should do the same thing. We should just, somebody just from space, they should just go ahead and pump in some good old sativa every morning. And this world would be much happier. much happier. So yes, so a couple of the pop canna situations that we want to talk about. And I'm just going to talk about one mainly. And then we're going to jump into Damon sharing with us what his contribution and his talents are. But I did want to go ahead and talk really about, I think, the hottest thing this week. Excuse me here. And that is Mr. Bobby Shmurda being released from 6 years of prison. Now, so happy that a black man is out. That is not where I want us at all. Unless you've done something really, really bad to be there. You know, there's definitely some repairs to do there. And I won't get too much into that. But Bobby Shmurda is, because I'm sure he's going to have a song out and it's going to be immediate and it's probably going to be fire. But if you guys don't know, he had a song about 6-7 years ago. And I'll say this part and everybody's going to know it. Just caught a body about a week ago. The dance with it. Hey, you know, so if you guys don't know, you should. But anywho, so this gentleman, he went away and suddenly was arrested. And I know it was a big shock to everybody. He went away for some involvement with what they're saying is a crime syndicate, which is just a local gang, I guess, that he's a part of and or was a part of or was associated with in the New York area.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly. Oh, that's right, Alan. Allegedly. And this gentleman, you know, he didn't snitch, basically. He didn't do a Tekashi. He went, he did his time. I know that he earned so much more respect, you know, from those in the industry.
He actually did one better and took charges from other people so that they didn't have to do as much time.
Wow. Wow. For real?
Yeah. Yes.
He's braver than me.
Yes. And I mean, young man.
He was the name, like the group of gentlemen that they said he was a part of. None of them were really that famous, but he was blowing up in terms of rap music and things like that. So that's who they really wanted. And he literally took on other charges. The guys that had did crimes that he took up the charges for, allegedly, they were out before him. Like his brothers that he got locked, that he went to trial with, they got out before he did.
Wow. So he was 20, because he's 26 now. So he went away. He wasn't even able to drink. And he went away, and his real name is Akil Gene Pollard. And can we say this? His parents definitely named him so that he could be somewhat of, he could, I don't want to say famous, but that he would be something in life. I believe in the power of naming your children very powerful names. And that's kind of how they'll manifest. And that's not only a powerful name, that's a very royal name, you know, that he has. But so I didn't know that Rowdy Rebel, which is somebody that he saw who also just got out, they were kind of the founders of Brooklyn drill music. And he rose, like I said, to fame in 2014. Wow, so that was much longer ago. What did I say, 6 years? That's longer than that, 8.
He went away 6 years ago.
Well, the song was out in 2014. And you guys know the word, the name of the song is Hot in Word.
And next year he went away.
Oh, that same year?
The next year, 2015.
Dang. Okay, so yeah, so he did 6. Yes, okay. So, yeah, so he went and he did his time. And believe me, I'm sure they definitely tried everything to get him to, you know, snitch on some other people. So yeah, so this article that I'm going to read really quickly is from vulture.com. So I do want to, you know, give them their credit and their site. So he was actually in for almost 7 years, nearly 7 years. He was freed on the 23rd, which was yesterday, 1 month away from my birthday. Don't forget, March 23rd, don't forget. If you guys forget what national holidays in March. So he was actually Ronnie Rebel, who he reunited with the other day, was freed from state prison 2 months ago. When he was released, he was picked up by Quavo of the Migos, who took a private jet, a PJ, to pick him up. And he made sure that he FaceTimed his family. And that was, you know, that was pretty cool to see, if you see the video of that. So I'm so happy that he's out, and I hope that he's able to continue to make a career for himself. When you have somebody like me, you know, Quavo picking you up, you probably got a lot of people that have your back. I know T.I. was talking about it, but T.I. has his own situations to kind of deal with right now, as we know. So I love that he was able to, you know, like I said, get out. I'm loving that people are supporting him. The thing that bothers me is that, you know, he was seen with the, you know, the money stacks, the money phones. You know, he had on a chain immediately. And this was all shared. I don't think that that's a good look when they were looking at you anyway. They're probably going to be looking at you to screw up at any given point in time. So I just kind of say, keep that on the low. Get back to creating. Tell us the stories that are within you, you know, because I know you have some stories. Prison's not a fun place.
Really, everybody needs to get back to keeping your personal business, stop just broadcasting on YouTube and Instagram and all those things, just their personal business and what they're doing behind closed doors.
Yes.
Like, you should set up what you want to show, and private stuff you should not show.
Yes.
In my opinion.
I mean, how many people have they gotten? And especially in New York, where they say that there's the hip hop police and that they keep binders, you know, dossiers on everybody. I like to say, you know, we lost Pop Smoke, who was a great, great, I mean, he would have definitely been the next 50 Cent, and I think he would have been better. But let's just say that he was still alive. They would be watching that man too, and anybody associated with him. So look, every Black person grew up with hearing their mom say this. Black people keep their business out the street. Can we go back to that? Because we don't.
And they keep trying to charge, especially Black rap. They don't do this to, they didn't go try to charge Ozzy Osbourne with like animal cruelty to animals or anything when he was biting off bat's heads and stuff on stage, but they keep wanting to charge young Black men with crimes that they rap about, even though you're supposed to have free speech and you should have creative flexibility, but it never really worked. So they need to just stop rapping about it and find something new to rap about and stop telling themselves.
Yeah.
Because Chicago, they just consistently tell themselves.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. What do you feel about that? Do you pay any attention to the hip hop, you know, genre, the, you know, what's going on? It's so much different than, you know, back in the day when we were probably in high school and whatnot. But
yeah. I haven't paid too much attention to hip hop since the 90s, early 2000s. So a lot of this information is new to me. But and when you're talking about, you know, like the freedom of speech and what's happening with these songs, I would like to quote the great sage Cat Williams. And when I say, how are you going to snitch on yourself? Like, I don't get it.
That's so good. Right?
I don't understand it.
You and I, we could completely talk in Cat Williams references, because that's what my husband and I do. We're like, everything. We constantly quote that man. Genius, okay? You know,
yes.
The insurgents. Nobody knew who insurgents were. We just went along with it. There was definitely some nuggets of just information and gold within that one stand-up itself. We could probably have a whole episode where we just talk back and forth within there, but you're absolutely right. You know, that's like back in the day as a child. Who tells on themselves? You know, and we do it more and more often. And the stronger that we become, the more educated that we become about our true history, and this is as Black people, the more that we exercise our rights to being free in America, completely free. That means owning businesses. That means our schools are just as good as schools in another neighborhood. That means our kids are going to college. And if they don't want to go to college, they have an entrepreneurship mindset. And they have the money and the skill, you know, everything that they need to be able to do that. We need to make sure that that is something that we're bringing to fruition. They're never going to give it to us. And the stronger that we become and the more powerful that they become more scared. But we can't be, who cares? We can't be in control of how they feel. I haven't watched it as of yet because hubby and I are kind of waiting to just be able to watch it and then have some time to talk about it, especially with our children. But the latest movie, Judas and Black Messiah, every Black person needs to go watch that. Please educate yourself about, you know, about the Black Panthers and about the leaders there and what they did. Because every time we have anybody that is in a powerful position or that has the attention of the Black community, they're scared. So let's educate ourselves on how we can best utilize all the talents that we have and the platforms that we have to share, you know, that information without getting ourselves into trouble. Shout out to podcasts like Earn Your Leisure. I've watched these gentlemen just really come up over the past couple of years that I've really been into content creation and podcasting. They're doing the right thing. They're using their platform to help us move forward. So that's a YouTuber, or, you know, that I'll say a content creator of the week that I want to give a shout out to. So we won't spend too much more time on that puff culture. Like I said, shout out to Bobby Shmurda. We appreciate that you're out. Please do something great with the rest of your life, young man. You're 26 years old. Do something fantastic. So before we jump into you know, a little more about Black entrepreneurship, Damon, why don't you share a little bit with us about who you are and what it is that your pod's about?
Who am I? I'm a dad, I'm a husband, and an obnoxious brother and son. Damon does is mostly an interview podcast. I started it because I really like talking to interesting people, and believe it or not, and I'm not sure if it's going to come across here, but I'm a bit stranger averse, if you might say. I'm a bit introverted. Like once I can get a feel for somebody, like that's my wife's job, to go be friendly and make all the friends and stuff. And I kind of watch and see how people act, and, you know, and be like, okay, you're cool or you're not cool, or, you know, because if something crazy goes down, I don't want any feelings getting in the way of if I have to handle business. You know what I mean? The origin of the show is I've had a very interesting work history for a guy from a small town in Indiana. And so, at every job that I've had, two, three people will say that they would literally say the same thing. They would say, man, I really enjoyed our conversations when we worked together. So combining that with, you know, I do want to meet people, and I find, how do I put this? Individuals are interesting. People in large groups are kind of dumb. And so I would like to meet interesting individuals, because everybody's got a really cool story if you talk to them long enough. I figured that one out while waiting tables. Mm-hmm. So I thought, hey, you know, I know some interesting cats already. And then it just kind of grown from there. I think it'll be a year, March 4th, that I've been publishing. So that's my cool. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations. Making it to the year mark. I just passed that in October myself.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's, I don't want to say it's surreal, but I think, at least for me, it validated, like, okay, you made it a year. This is really what you're supposed to be doing. You know, you feel so passionate about it because it is part of your purpose. And I think, like I said, hitting that year mark really helps to validate that. So congratulations to you.
Thank
on that.
You.
No, I know when I first found you, I stumbled across, and what really had me stop on your page was because you had the Different World,
Yeah.
A different world pod. Yes. So is that something that you guys just had for a little bit of time, or is that something you and, you know, your wife still work on? Or
Madeline's not my wife, actually.
Oh, my bad. I thought it was. Well, I'm so sorry.
We actually have really good chemistry because, well, I don't know if I just, I forget it. We met while I was waiting tables, but we became friends. I'm a massage therapist by, that's what the IRS thinks I do. And so I met Madeline through work. Like, she came in to see me for these. And so I've been working on her at least once a month, sometimes twice, for 10 years. So this is, so you multiply that by how many conversations we've had that, you know, so that like that, so we, so that natural chemistry, so people have emailed us like, mm-hmm. Did you guys date or you guys married? I'm like, no, it's probably safer for the both of us, to be honest. But to answer your question, to make a long story, Kevin Hart, we've had some technical difficulties. That's why we haven't put any shows out recently, and I haven't tweeted about it because it's all on her computer, so I'm not 100% sure where we're at, but I'd like to get back into it. Because I've loved it.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It was a great concept. Yeah, it was a great concept. As soon as I found it, I told my husband about it. I said, oh my gosh, like, I want to be on every episode and talk about whatever it is. It is the show for itself. Like I said, it did have a huge impact on me because it's not that I didn't think about going to college, you know, before, but I was always worried about, let me get through high school. You know, I grew up in a very, very, very farming kind of town. The best way for me to describe it is, if you guys have seen Friday Night Lights, that is exactly where I grew up in, just in California. I'm not in Texas, but everything was focused on football. Yeah, Friday nights, the town was empty because everybody was at the football games.
Wow.
I can totally deal with the smell of cow shit like it's nothing. You know, I partially raised the pig, but then lost interest because a boy that I liked got out of the club and then I got out. You know, I have dealt with blatant racism, you know, just developed who I am, but it definitely showed me I had both parents, so the Cosby Show, everything about the Cosby Show was just perfect. It was just fantastic. I wanted to sing for my grandparents on their 50th. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to go see The Wretched and get in trouble like Vanessa. Like, I wanted all of that. Okay. But the biggest inspiration definitely was A Different World, because it showed me that I thought Hillman was real. I definitely did. I wanted to go to college. You know, I wanted that experience. And even at a younger age, because I wasn't of college age at all when the show was on, even at a younger age, I was able to see the growth of them at, you know, coming from being freshmen to who they were when the show ended. And it's a beautiful thing. And I think that we don't need to reboot everything, but I think it would be nice to have a version of A Different World for today's youth. You know, I love everything about it. I think my favorite episodes have to do with Dwayne and Whitley, of course. There's so many messages there. You know, Freddie getting drunk, you know. Okay, there's plenty of people that had their first time getting drunk. Yeah, you know, and the repercussions of that. I remember... let me tell you, I've hugged the toilet so many times, just go, please let me get through it, I promise I'll never drink again. And then the next weekend, we were drinking Mad Dog, you know, 2020 again. Hey. But sexual assault, something that was brought up, you know, very early on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Pregnancy scares, you know, Kim, that situation. You know, it was just, there's so many stories that would benefit young people now. And if they ever thought, I'm not able to go to college, even though it's a TV show, it lets you know that you can. And there's always opportunities, you know, for you to be able to do so. So great show. So I would love it as well if, you know, you guys get back on and kind of relate it. It's kind of similar to what we do with the Boondocks.
Yeah, it is.
Very similar, actually. Yeah. And to be able to relate that to modern times. And that's what makes the show, I know, doing the Boondocks so rewarding for me, is because we're able to connect it to today and talk about it today and have more of a solution, you know, as it pertains to today. I know you listened to it. You were a guest, like I said. We say this almost every week. Aaron Magruder is a psychic. That man is him and all the other writers. I don't know where you got it from. I don't know if you guys have a little magic ball. I don't know. But it is so imperative that we get a show like that back on the air as well.
Absolutely.
I would love to see Huey. I would love to see Huey and Riley as early, you know, 20s.
Ooh.
I think that'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, and you'd have to have somebody else, like, you know, Grandpa, because unfortunately we know, you know, he's no longer with us. But I think if you guys had if they placed another character of influence and authority like that in the lives, you know, somebody, we could definitely get somebody else that would be great for that. Mm-hmm. Maybe like a Cedric the Entertainer or a Steve Harvey, maybe, you know, a character like that and somebody that we all know. Regina King, I know, girl, you're doing big things. I know you're winning Emmys and Oscars, but if we could have you back, like, just the show would be awesome just to be able to have her voice Huey and Riley again.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think it would be a great addition. Yeah, we've had some great things, some very good creative shows and movies that you know, that is able to tell our story. Most recently, we have, why am I drawing a blank on his name? The director, Ryan Coogler.
Yeah.
He's doing fantastic things to tell our story. Yes, he's doing great things. So, you know, we need to continue to have and create artists like that. As a parent, do you see within your children, do you notice what their talents are, what their creativity is? And do you try to foster that, you know, and nurture it in any way?
Yes and yes. My son is my daughter's the older one. As a matter of fact, I need to ask you something about that a little bit later. Just remind me. My daughter's talents kind of showed up early. We are a house full of little people. I'm 5'4" and the tallest person in the house. And so you can imagine how small my children are. And Georgia, yes. My daughter was reading at 2 and she looked like she was 18 months.
Oh, wow.
So from there, we just kind of feed stuff to her, and she's really into art, and she's really creative. She's a really creative. She has a really creative mind. Let me think about this. This last October, she had asked me if we had just watched the Sonic movie, and she had asked if she could get a plushie, and I'm like, no, your brother's birthday soon. You know, we can't be doing that. She's like, okay, that's cool. So this this is what she did. So she went and got blue construction paper, drew Sonic's face and torso, cut it out, drew the back of his head and his back, made some arms, taped it all together, and then found some cotton balls and stuffed it. I was like, okay, cool. Matter of fact, I don't have it in here. She made me one, like, with her. This is a perfect segue. I have a feeling you guys would get along swimmingly or kill each other, because she is also an Aries.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm just going to ask if she was an Aries. Yes. We probably get along very well. I'll tell you, at all three of, well, especially with my husband and I, with our children, at the sonograms, I know he was like, he wanted a boy, you know, and deep down I was like, ooh, I don't know if I can have a little me. I don't know. I don't even know if I can have it. Thank God, the universe and everything knew better to put a little me in a household. So I don't have a little me, but I do have, my children are very much, they're both Leos. And they're like my husband at different points in his life. So my 12-year-old, we call him old man. He's like, he's 70, okay? He's so introspective, and his birthday's 8-8-08, And so if you know anything about birthdays and astrology and just like, you know, he is that. Like, he's very, he's been here before. I would say several times. If it were up to him, he would totally, like, we're talking to them about going back to school. You know, I don't trust. I think we're pushing it back, happening way too fast. As long as Corona is still around, we shouldn't be going back to regular life. But that's a whole nother thing. He doesn't want to go back. He's like, I'm good. I was like, son, you'll be out a year and a half. He's like, I don't need to see those kids every day. He's just like, I'm good. Whereas my younger one is the one that's like, party, let's go. I need to, you know, be social. And so it's very funny to see the differences between them, but just how much you are, you know, you are within them as well. Like, it allows you as a parent, it's like a mirror. You're able to go and say, oh, you know, what's good about you and maybe what's not so good about you, because they, you know, they take in all of that. But yes, I was going to say, she sounds very much like my 9-year-old. You tell my 9-year-old something, he's like, okay, cool. You know, same thing. He wanted a shirt one time, some special shirt. You know, he found it on Amazon. It's one thing about giving your kids phones, because you will text me shit to Amazon. Like, this is what I want. I told him he couldn't get it. Next thing I know, he was cutting up a shirt. He was doing this. He was doing that. He designed his own. So much like your daughter, let me say this. You're going to have a lot of, you want to do this now? You want to try this now? You want to try this now? It gets going to be a lot of that, because we want to try everything.
Yes. That we're, she's very similar to her old man that way. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We have to nurture it. You know, I have to say somebody, I don't know if you know who Kev on Stage is, but he's a great content creator that's come up from, you know, doing Facebook videos to this man's owning his own pretty much studio now. And he's allowing for other content creators. He has an app. If you guys don't know, please go support. But he does a great job. He, one of his children, into podcasting. And he started his own podcast with his son. And I'm pretty sure that this podcast is probably helping any type of education account that they need to set up for this young man. The amount of views that they get, you know, he's setting him up. So, and I think that's awesome. He's definitely nurturing, and he's helping to foster an interest and a talent. And it's so important. So I've always wanted to, you know, have another parent, especially with somebody whose children are a little bit younger, if, you know, if they also identify that. And if it's something that you feel is a responsibility as parents to be able to help out, especially with you being a content creator. You know, I'm sure, you know, you understand the importance of being able to express your creativity.
Yes. There have been a couple times I've actually had her do some things on the show. Matter of fact, her voice is the first voice that's heard that was heard on my show when I first started it. So I had stuck her in front of the microphone. She just started rambling, and she said something along the lines, "It's showtime!" Da, 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 da. And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, cut that. That's going on first."
Gotta keep it. Oh, I love that. I love that. And now your little one, 4. You know, so right now, 4. You know, they're into. My boys were into like Yo Gabba Gabba and Jumbo some time ago. So, you know, pretty much concentrating on like what they, you know, love to watch on TV. Are you seeing any inklings of, you know, what, you know, he's a good boy, correct?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. He is, everybody talks about their kids. So, you know, like, they're glowing and they're perfect and everything. And mine aren't. They're obnoxious little turds like their dad. He genuinely is a super, super nice kid. He is a, have you read the 5 love languages?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. He's a heavy acts of service person. So,
okay.
The wife and I were talking, and we both laughed because nobody's going to spoil our daughter the way our son does.
Oh, how sweet is that? Oh my gosh.
He's also could be a real pain and just, you know, hard-headed, whatever, but he is the good side of him, he is such a sweet boy. Like, just I'm like, wow, yeah, no, yeah. There'll be no suitors good enough for you. As far as I'm concerned, there won't be any.
Ever, ever. Yeah. Poor, oh gosh, give it to your daughter's future boyfriends or, you know, anybody serious once she gets to that age. Because, oh, you're going to have not only the daddy, but the brother? Oh, no. That's going to be issues.
I don't have to say but anything.
She will also have a, yes, but she's going to have a great example of what love is. And that way she's not going to be able to have these knuckleheads in her ear telling her stuff. Because what I say all the time is if there is a father in her life that treats a daughter like the princess and the future queen that she is, but then you also have a brother and you have a great relationship there, there's not going to be anything anybody's going to be able to tell her. They're going to whisper in her ear, I love you. She's going to be like, great, my daddy and my brother love you too. You know, I know my worth, and that's so powerful. So I love that. We'd be so interested to see how once they get into like junior high, you know, when things like that, high school, how that's gonna come together.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool topic, you know, to kind of bring up, you know, for your show, interviewing somebody that's maybe I don't say a child psychologist, but you know, somebody that is really informed on that. I think that'd be really cool to be able to have, but. I do want to ask you, because as I mentioned before we got on, I noticed that currently, you know, with your Twitter, you are, which many of us should be doing all year round, not just in February, but let's take advantage when it's touted Black History Month. You've been sharing some information and, you know, little Black History facts, information about different individuals. So I did pose the question, what is the most interesting fact, you know, person that you discovered? Something that you learned. What is the most interesting thing that has come about?
There's a couple of them. I did an episode on Bessie Coleman that came out today, and that was really, her story is really interesting. It's a shame she died so young, but she was doing barnstorming, which I had an inkling of what it was, but I had to look it up to be sure. And, you know, they're talking about their flying circuses, and these people would like play tennis across planes and jump from plane to plane. Like they have the stunt pilot and the aerialist, and both of them are insane. And it was, it's like the X Games with an airplane. Wow. And the thing that messed me up was this is 17-year-old technology. The plane was invented. The Wright brothers had made their first flight in, I want to say it's 1903. And Bessie Coleman's, you know, and so Bessie Coleman, when she was doing barnstorming, it was like the 1920s. So I'm sitting like, airplane isn't even old enough to drink yet. And y'all are doing loop de loops and up, you know, flying right? upside down. And just
right? You were trusting the technology? Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And then
that lets you know the. And I'm. This is what I'm just imagining, the messages that she got, or you know what I'm saying, the trust that she got to be able to use that technology, especially at that time where it was like she was going to trust some white men. You know, I'm just being honest about that time. But whatever her relationship was spiritually, she had somebody helping her to understand the power of what she could do and to be trustworthy in that brand new, like you said, you know, kind of technology. 17 years old. So yeah. So sorry about that. Go ahead. Something that popped up.
One of her backers
is coming out today. You said right?
That came out today. And one of her backers, I did a small piece on Robert. Let me see if it's Robert. Robert Abbott, who was the founder of the Chicago Defender. He helped finance Bessie Coleman to get to France so she can get her international pilot's license, which I thought was cool. The other part of the Chicago Defender story is that. You know, they were doing what, you know, Black Lives Matter is doing now with just newspapers. And they were sending newspapers down, black people down south during the Jim Crow era that were getting these papers. And they had to, it wasn't one of those things that they could just have it on the newsstand. So they had to sneak them in. And to think that they had to do these James Bond type of espionage just to read a newspaper fascinated me as well. Like it would make a really cool movie to have a paper come off the press and follow it through like four or five different families as it made its way down south. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it was, because I think it, yeah. the average part, it would be like 400 to 500 extra readers of reading one paper because they had mm-hmm. to, you know, recycle and stuff. And I just thought it'd be cool to have all these yeah. different Black families or Black people, just different people getting a hold of this paper and like tell our stories. Our stories, we are not monolith. It's, I'm sure you've had it happen. It's like, why do Black people, is that, that ain't, that question yeah. is always a, is always like secret permission to be racist. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes. Because it definitely is. And like, I love that you say that, because we said that several times, like on the Boondocks. We are not a monolith. We are not just one trick pony. There's so many different stories that are told because of our experiences. There's so much knowledge that's available out there for us. I mean, I'm in the past couple of years, hubby and I have gone into a kind of journey of really finding out our true history. Not what's being told to us, not what, you know, Ancestry.com is going to tell us. I really want to know what our true history is. And we're finding out more that the Native Americans that were Native were us. We were a large part of that. We just got only 8% of the slave population was from Africa.
8 or 9%.
Really?
Only 8 or 9% of the slaves, yes, of the slave population were from Africa. The remaining amount were the natives that were here. And I'm not, you know, taking away from Native Americans, those of, you know, Indian Native American descent. They were as well. But why do you think so many Black people say, I have Cherokee in my family? Why do you think so many Black people end up finding out that they do have some portion of Native American? Because we're here. You know, we need to really just take the time in whatever way it interests you to really try to find out about how much power we truly have. We are hugely getting into being self-sufficient. Mm. I say this all the time. I joke, but it's kind of with a joke. The zombie apocalypse is not about taking me out, okay? I'm going to be able to shoot a gun. I'm going to be able to protect my home. You know, I'm not saying I'm going to know how to clean the chicken and, you know, and do all that, but I want to be able to put seeds into the earth and be able to create my own, you know, grow my own vegetables. I want to be able to, like I said, be self-sufficient to some extent. And I think we all need to kind of start looking into that, as well as, you know, making it better for ourselves in the present, but then in the future. And we need to be prepared for anything. I think if anything, January 6th really opened the eyes to a lot of us on just how imperative it is to, one, defend our homes, but also, like I said, to become a little more self-sufficient. What do you, I know that you said that you're a massage therapist, and that is definitely being an entrepreneur. That is being your own, you know, your own boss. I used to actually recruit, and I worked at a post-secondary school that actually provided training for massage therapists. And I loved it. The people that I met, the students that I brought in, because we need to get back into other forms of healing and holistic care versus just going to the doctor and being given another pill, another drug. So, you know, knowing that that is something that you do, it's huge. You know, you guys do take a little wear and tear on your own bodies, but the healing, the healing that you give to other people is immense. And I hold, you know, I highly tell people, get, if you're looking for something to do, maybe let's say you want to get into healthcare, but it's going to be some time before you can do that. Go and get the training and become a massage therapist, because you are doing the same thing. You're providing that healing, and you meet awesome people, and you create these relationships, and you help people with a better quality of life and health. So is that something that you can continue to see yourself doing, you know, in that realm of providing the health, providing that health relief, but more importantly, being an entrepreneur?
Yes, and I'm not quite the entrepreneur. I am slowly moving into entrepreneurship. I work for Massage Envy.
And that's all that matters. Okay. Well, yeah, and then just move. Yeah, you just gotta move away from there. But yeah, I mean, you're on your way. It like you said, moving into it. I'm not taking it anyway. I'm going to still call you an entrepreneur. I think that you are, because you are doing something that eventually you can start opening your own, you know, or you can provide, you know, just mobile services or you can start becoming a, you know, providing information virtually through your social media. You know, there are kind of self massages that you can do. You can also introduce couple massages. So there's a lot that, you know, you can do that can catapult you into that entrepreneurship, even further than what you are. But is that something that you think you, like you said, you're slowly moving into that. Is that something you really see for yourself? Is that, has that been a goal for you, is to have entrepreneurship, or, you know, to be your own boss?
Yes, that has been, that has floated around in my dome forever. It's just been one of those things about being, honestly, being brave enough to just make the leap and doing it, you know? I mean, I'm just being honest. Yeah. And now having a family, it's even more like, you know? So.
Yes. Yeah.
But things are changing.
No, I can relate to that. Yeah. And you just, like I said, manifest, speak into existence what it is that you want. But first, you have to become accountable for what it is that you want. I know people that have watched this before. I'll probably say it every episode. The Alchemist helped to change my life. When I read that, I understood how limited my thinking was. Great book. I mean, fantastic book. And it really allowed me to step out of fear and step into my purpose and my passion and become more resolute in it. And that's why I work within cannabis now. And that's why I podcast now. You know, these are always things that I wanted to do, but I always found an excuse of why it wasn't the right time to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to say I'm excited to see your fruition, because I don't know what it is. I'm very into energy, into just what people put out there. And I just feel like it's meant for you to continue to create content, but also to change the lives of others through, you know, the magic hands there. Because like I said, massage is imperative. Yes. I like that too. Yo, we could do a movie pod together. We talk right in the same languages.
I'm in.
So, yes, let's do it. We'll have to talk about that, because I am huge on it. Like, I seriously, if you know us, people go, "What movie was that? Did you guys just quote? What TV show was that?" My husband and I make people feel probably really bad sometimes when we present things to them, and they're like, "I've never seen that." We're like, "What? You've never seen a small wonder? What? You've never what? Seen a taking it back." Yes, you've never seen Out of This World. You don't know what this means.
Woo!
You should, yeah. So, yes, we do that. But we, like I said, we when we first met, first night, we had a conversation, and I knew that I'm gonna marry him. I knew it. You know, and I keep him around all these years later. He sort of laughs. He's amused by that. So I promised that I was gonna keep this to like half an hour less. And I didn't, but the conversation's so good. But before we wrap up here, I do want to give a little shout out, because we're talking about entrepreneurship and entrepreneurs. So I do want to shout out two different companies. First is Black and Mobile. If you guys haven't found out or heard about them, please go follow them on their Instagram, their Twitter, under Black and Mobile. They are basically competition for DoorDash, for Postmates, for whatever the other deliveries. Oh, Uber Eats and that now. I myself am a Postmater. But I would be so happy, and I would definitely, you know, support Black and Mobile if it was here in Northern California, in Sacramento. But these are two gentlemen that started the business together, the platform. And like I said, it's food delivery. But what they do is they take pride in partnering with Black-owned businesses to be able to provide that delivery services. And they do it cheaper than DoorDash or Postmates. So definitely give a shout out to them. I'm not sure if they have franchise opportunities, if they're looking for investors, but look into that. If you're kind of motivated by that and you like that idea, then check into it, because whatever you can do as far as supporting through being a customer, like I said, maybe there's franchise opportunities that can provide an opportunity for you. So you guys will be able to see it on the screen here. I'll be sharing their page. So Black and Mobile, I love the culture delivered. I love that. So, you know, snaps to them. Like I said, if you guys don't know about them, definitely go and check them out. Black and Mobile. They pretty much blew up during Coronacation. So while other businesses were falling to the wayside, they were doing what they needed to do to be able to grow. Yes. So they are in 4 locations currently, Atlanta, Baltimore, Detroit, and Philadelphia. And you just go onto their website, as you can see, click on each city, and you'll see the different restaurants that they're associated with. Let's help them to get to more cities up there, guys. All right, especially here in California. It would be great for them to be in the Bay Area, in Los Angeles, where there's a lot of customers. I would love to have them here in Sacramento. We have a lot of Black-owned businesses, especially restaurants, to pair with. So it's an app. Definitely go download the app. If you're in one of those four cities, help to, you know, support and spread the word. If you're not, like I said, let's find out a way that we can help them to grow. So Black and Mobile. The second business is one that I actually am going to take a part in as one of my many things that I'd like to continue doing as a serial entrepreneur. But it is Black Business in a Box. This is a fantastic way. If you want to become an entrepreneur, you want to create your own income, and maybe you want to have, passive income. If you want to have passive income coming in, Black Businesses in a Box is a great way to do it. So they are about, and I because I'm an affiliate, I have discount codes, so I'll share that with you guys as well. But they're always having discounts to be able to get you in and make it affordable for you. So Black Business in a Box is basically where you get everything. You don't physically get a box, but it's where they actually set up your store for you. They provide all of the inventory. So I'm sure everybody knows of somebody that sells hair, that does eyelashes. This platform has those options plus more. So you can do sunglasses. You can do designer watches. You can do electronic stuff, you know, computers, blah, 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 that good stuff. They have probably, I'd say, 12 maybe or 15 options for a store. They set everything up for you. They help you with everything that you need as far as the revenue and keeping up with, you know, your sales. And it's a great business and it's a great platform. I know when they first started, people thought that it was, you know, there was a sham going on. It was a scam going on. And I hate to say this and admit this, but a lot of the hate that I saw coming was from our own community. And I don't understand why, instead of like not supporting it right away, there was so much negativity and question about it. But I think now that it's been around for a couple of years and it's had successful individuals, I think it's definitely something that I will continue to support. And I think if there's anybody out there, anybody, let's say you've become, you know, jobless because of the pandemic, and you know, you want to be able to venture into a way of making your own money and not, you know, not rely on regular 9-to-5 job. This is a great way for you to get your foot in because what does that say at the top? What's the discount right now, babe? 50% discount on their stores. Their stores are, if I'm not mistaken, $300 to create. So half price of that, you guys spend that on Starbucks. You guys spend that on the new pair of shoes. You guys, some of you spend that to go get your nails done, which I do not get. You know, we will waste a lot of money on other opportunities. You know, you'll be trying to get to NBA All-Stars or whatever else it is, but you won't, you know, invest $150, let's just say minimum, to be able to get into your own business. So definitely check out Black Business in a Box. I think they're doing fantastic things. It's a great way for us to build some entrepreneurship and to be able, you know, maybe that'll just be your beginning. And then once you get that down, you'll go ahead and create your own, whatever, you know, product or whatever it may be. But if you're somebody that's kind of looking for that answer, looking what to do, this is a great way to start. So shout out to them. And I do want to thank you so, so much for, you know, spending some time with me. Great conversation. I will definitely look forward to us working together. I think there's some great collab kind of opportunities out there for us. And I want you guys to all go follow, listen, support to his podcast. And let's all go ahead and just put it out there that, you know, the Different World Pod can kind of come back to, because like I'm telling you guys, great content. It's a great conversation for us to have within the community right now.
Absolutely.
So thank you once again. Yes, it's been a pleasure. I could keep you on for so much longer, but I won't. No, thank you. So we will be talking. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. You know what to do. Go ahead and follow me on all social media. I want to give a shout out to our newest country of listeners. Yeah, so all the information you'll see right there. Mm-hmm. You definitely want to go follow. All his information is listed right there. So go on all social media, follow everybody. All right. Apple Podcasts, which we're listed on, please go like our podcast because that helps us as well, you know, kind of within the algorithms of Apple Podcasts. And definitely go follow us on podcasts or platforms such as Podbean. And there's one other, there's so many, and they all start with pod, guys. So please forgive me. Let's see, what's the other one? And I'm not sure if you've even checked this Podchaser. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if you've actually checked those. But even if you like have never been on there, go on, if you're a content creator, if you have a podcast, and claim your podcast. Okay, because they have it. I don't know how, but they have them all. So go in there and claim it, and it gives you a lot of actual benefits. I love to say that Podchaser is probably one of my favorite podcaster platforms right now with all the help that they provide you. Guys, keep an eye out because I do have another episode coming out Friday, and we have our merch that's going to be coming out very quickly here. I'm trying to not have everything in one shop like I want. So I'm trying to just kind of hone that down to a couple pieces of clothing, some jewelry, you know, what it means to be Mary Jane Maven and what helps to define me. But once again, guys, thank you for spending some time with us. We appreciate you. Like I said, shout out to all the new followers and listeners, especially our newest countries, which I believe our newest country was New Zealand a couple of weeks ago. Our newest area, Barbados. Yeah. I know. So I'm waiting for somebody to be like, you want to live? You want to like have a show here? Right. I would love for somebody to send me a gift or, you know, an airplane ticket, you know, to get me there. Anywhere you guys want me to go, guys. All right. But yeah, shout out to all of you guys. Thank you once again. I can continue talking, but like I said, my brain wants me to, but I'm going to stop it. So shout out. Much love to everybody. See you on Friday, where we have a very special guest. And like I said, please go follow my guest co-host and keep up, you know, just keep your ear to the streets because we'll probably be coming out with something a little interesting for you guys pretty soon. All right. Everybody have a good Wednesday.
MonthLeaf is the monthly cannabis subscription service for Northern California. They offer a variety of boxes that you can customize to fit your preferences. Each box will always have a value exceeding $150, but all you have to pay is just $100. And that's each month.
And this episode is going to be an education, you know, an eradication, and an elevation episode all in one. So to jump into it, we are going to get into a quote somebody else who is everything, Mr. Bob Marley. So this quote is, I wish we were all hippies and we did yoga, lived in cottages, smoked weed, accepted everyone for who they are, and listened to wonderful music.
Yes.
And I wish money didn't make us who we are. I just wish we could redo society.
We can redo society.
Word. Facts, right?
We're working on it every day.
Seriously. Like, that's the message.
Be the change.
Yes, that you want to see. Exactly.
Yeah.
So my boys, Jing.